Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
We are going to look at kind of an artist edition type treatment of Gene Colan here, some really cool four-color reproductions. But before we dive into this, what's up?
Red Room issue 1, hitting the stands in May 2021. First issue is going to be available then, but you could pre-order it at this moment, just like thousands of Kayfabe crew members have done so already. I have a link tree in the description below this video. Could send you to the Fantagraphics website so that you could put in your pre-order reservation. If you want to read the comics, hit up patreon.com/edpiskor. These are high-res prints of the pages that are up there. Two issues are live at this very moment. I put up new strips every Tuesday, and $3 could get the complete archive.
You can find more of my work at patreon.com/jimrugg. Lots of original art, lots of early stuff being posted there, behind-the-scenes things. And my latest series is looking at these two comics. Same story, one done at the beginning of my Image Comics run on Street Angel, and then redone at the end of my Image Comics run for Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive. And basically looking at, you know, page-by-page comparisons. So in the beginning, a very traditional ink on paper, digital color. By the end, well, lots of changes in the process. So doing a series of those inspired by things like our recent Conan video where we're comparing two different artists doing the same story. Patreon.com/JimRugg where you can find that. But we are here today, Ed, to dig into Gene Colan, Visions of a Man Without Fear, reference to his work on Daredevil, longtime work on Daredevil. And this is published by the Cartoon Art Museum. This is basically a catalog for an art show that was there. You can see I got this at Copacetic Comics.
Shouts to Bill.
Kind of cool.
One of the great pencil slingers, man.
Yeah, and you can see it. They know it. Well known. You can see it on the cover, the way he's putting all this value in his pencils. And this is a nice book because it shows off a lot of his art, but it also has a lot of people who work with him talking about his art. And inkers talking about like what it was like to get hold of pencils that had this kind of value, and it was a lot of room for an inker to kind of do something, interpret that.
Thrilled to see the morgue files there, yes. The reference shots, because his figures always felt really, really sturdy to me, and the lighting always felt specific, so I'm so glad to see he didn't make that up.
Yeah, drapery.
Perfect.
It's real sharp stuff. Always funny too. Like, you know, I assume his son may be there modeling for a picture. Fun seeing like the family members getting involved.
Yeah, listen, man. Get it in where you can fit it in.
So some intros, and funny to see like context. Like a few different people write about one. He followed Steve Ditko on Doctor Strange. That's a pretty tall order. Followed Steranko on Captain America. So some big...
Oh, his Captain America was sick.
Oh, yeah. His Doctor Strange is nothing to sneeze at either. You know, some remarkable runs. Known for Daredevil, had a really good run on Daredevil.
Long run.
Howard the Duck, another character I think he's associated with. Batman. You know, he's it's a long career that the guy puts in. And a completely unique style. So anytime you saw Gene Colan, like, it's like Kirby in that... It was him. It was you know, his style, his approach, and totally different. This is awesome. This is an EC story. He only did one EC story from Two Fisted Tales. This catalog does a very good job of having clearly denoting what we're looking at. So Two Fisted Tales, number 30, page 6. There's a little bit of, I don't want to say speculation, but some notes on working over Harvey Kurtzman's layouts for this. And notes that this is the only EC story that he did. But look at the water and like the battleship on that water. It's really beautiful work. In 1952, like he could have done more, but the little note says he didn't really like working over someone else's layouts.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, you know, goes back to that idea of Colan being a very original artist.
He would do some very interesting stuff when he was at Marvel that was way different. You know, we talk about the Kirby storytelling, we talk about the Ditko storytelling. He was the only guy doing like 2-3 panel pages on Daredevil.
Yeah.
And it would be these like very swooping kinetic images, man. Really, really fast paced stuff.
Yeah, here's Stan Lee saying when he was Gene's editor, he could give him any story about any subject featuring any hero or villain or whomever and never had to give it a second thought. And it is, like, when you start thinking about the books that he did, like, it is quite a range, you know, from something like Howard the Duck that, you know, is kind of beloved his run, to things like Daredevil, kind of classic superhero, to Doctor Strange. funny to think of the big Doctor Strange artist, this trippy, super trippy character, but these artists are all just these like straight-laced dudes that are able to conjure up that kind of imagery.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he did the complete run of that Dracula, like which is
that's the big one,
which is not that doesn't happen.
No, you know? like almost 80 issues, I think that Dracula series ran, almost prototype graphic novel.
Yeah, and here we get to see some of that lighting a little bit, and the inker really makes this shine in a way that's almost like like
ink. Bill Everett.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, Bill Everett, 1968.
It's very precise.
Late era Bill Everett inks are some of my favorite.
He's great. Yeah, like he grows as an artist in such leaps and bounds compared to, you know, Marvel Comics number
one.
Look
at how strange those knees are.
Listen. There's some he's going to kayfabe. He's going to kayfabe some anatomy. And the more you play around with superhero type figures, you just got to get those gestures right. You need to get the volume right and the proportions right. All that interior stuff, you could fuss around with a little bit.
Great face for Iron Man, super expressive. This is Eric Larson, you know, writing and kind of talking about what he pulls out of the Gene Colan artwork. And one of the first notes of Gene's pencils are bare to ink. A lot of interpretation left to the inker. So depending on where you come down, that's a plus or a minus. But the other thing everybody talks about is how original he is. You know, like John Romita Sr., who... art director, I think, would be either officially or unofficially for Marvel. So a guy who was advising artists and sort of correcting things talks about how there's a lineage of styles that people reference, you know, the Kirby, Toth, Kubert, Cole, Wood. And a lot of those styles go back to Foster and Sickles and Kniff, not Gene Colan. Like, it's almost impossible to trace his influences. I love this Iron Man. It's just super strong. Inks here, Johnny Craig from EC Comics.
Yeah, it's around that period. It makes sense.
It's pretty awesome. I like seeing, like, the, again, imagine them trying to interpret marks, these pencil shades. So you have these super fine lines, you know, in certain parts. Really interesting exercise in inking and what inkers used to do.
He had that series in the 80s called Nathaniel Dusk that was printed from his pencils. One of the few Marvel DC comics. It was a DC comic, but one of the few big two comics to do that. And that's where you really... Everybody got hip to, like, what this guy's penciling was like. You never really got to see what the penciler brought to the table.
It had to be one of the early examples of reproducing from pencils.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, lots of books have done it now, but in those early days, that was super rare. This is one of those pages. There's a couple of pages in here, like you talk about, you know, four-panel pages, three-panel pages. That's a very interesting page layout. There's a couple of those reproduced here.
Pure Colan, too. Like, he would do this kind of thing. And it was... read an interview with him towards the end for Comic Book Artists magazine. And when Jim Shooter becomes an editor, his world shatters. And this is when he goes to DC.
Exactly.
Because Shooter was a fucking dick by all, you know, stories that Colan tells. Everything he did was incorrect. And it was that classic thing that you hear a lot where... Jim Shooter would give him a million things to redo. He would take it home, do nothing, bring it back in, and Jim Shooter would be like, okay, now that's right. You know, so just like stretching the dude.
You can really see it too. This is another one of those examples of like page layout that's just so atypical. And you think of Jim Shooter drawing a couple of issues of Marvel Comics to kind of show freelancers how to do it, and it's just all gridded out and six-panel grids and stuff. You can see how inventive this is compared to that type of structure.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is keeping it interesting for himself as much as just keeping it, making something cool for everybody else.
That Foom cover is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every page in here is going to kind of have that power, but there's one of the Doctor Strange spreads. It's when Doctor Strange was wearing masks. Tom Palmer's an inker that I always think does really good work on Gene Colan.
Yeah.
Ditto Neil Adams. I think Palmer's a good inker on there. Dick Giordano, I think, is good on both of those guys. And I think there's some commonality in certain styles and maybe the handling of lights and darks or something.
They just, they're solid illustrators themselves, you know. So they could take, when you bring up Neil Adams, like he's a messy penciler too. And you need a smart guy to turn that into a black and white line.
Screen tones being put down on little patches on there.
Yep.
That's such a flourish to me that you would add, because it's not much. It's not like you're doing this big piece of, you know, noir work. It's just a little bit that Palmer decides to put on there. This is another Doctor Strange page that I just adore.
You can almost hear the Wizard of Oz tornado music when you look at that.
There is so much motion in all of these pages and covers that you're going to see. And I love that motion. This is probably around the time that I really started to get into Gene Colan and started thinking about him next to Jack Kirby or you know, next to any of these Steve Ditkos, these giants who look like themselves. Colan has that and has that power, and it works really good.
Can we go back just real quick? Because the motion is like sold, like you see the spatial relationships with the far rocks and the closer ones, and that helps sell it so much. If those were not there, you wouldn't feel it as much. And I don't know that you necessarily think to put them in, and like everybody wouldn't think to put them in there.
Yeah, that's a sparse detail to come up with, but works great. Tom Palmer coloring that issue.
That's interesting. Also, just the separation of shapes with the little cloak piece and the back of the cape to just make the head pop. That's smart illustration.
If you look really close, that face is like fully rendered. You know, there's a little bit of a double light. You can see the shadow in the middle of the nose. Like, there's a lot of detail in that little piece.
Yeah, that's cool. That's real cool.
Cool. You see like writers that work with him talking about his characters. Marv Wolfman from Dracula. Don McGregor, Ragamuffins is a series, I think Eclipse published, and that's reproduced from pencils.
Yeah.
So that's one to possibly track down. I mean, that's really early. That might have been, early 80s or something, whenever that would have come out. And Nathaniel Dusk, and he compares the two and says, you know, Ragamuffins, they did a little better job on the reproduction of the pencils. So if you're interested in how the pencils work, that's one to track down. They also did a Black Panther run, like 25 issues or so that ran through Marvel Comics Presents. That's really strong stuff. There's a lot of these. Like, Gene Colan was prolific, you know? I mean, he's got a long career, so you can certainly find lots of examples of his work.
You would want to hear what Marv Wolfman has to say about Gene Colan, right? Like, this is important.
By the way, in addition to the stuff we know, like Tomb of Dracula or Tower of Shadows or Night Force, Goofy and Simpsons.
Yes,
they did.
Goofy. Simpsons is probably Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah, it might be. I always wonder, like, I can't imagine that you'd go to Gene Colan and be like, well, you got to draw these on model.
Yeah.
So what the heck does that look like? There you go, man. Starting to get into, like, I mean, this is prime, right? And Blade? Was he a creator of Blade?
He was. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I have some issues scattered here and there, and my whole thought was like, I'll just wait till I get them all. I've never read any yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting series. There's an artist edition of Tomb of Dracula, so I think it picks and chooses.
This is a famous page. This was in the Abrams book, and the color, like, if you would have seen the color on that page, it was done really well, too.
Yeah, very awesome. This is the end. This is the conclusion, 70 issues, and I guess they ended in this triptych, so it's this two-page spread and then this piece, and I think this is one of the most amazing examples of inking that I've seen. Like, nobody... These marks are wonderful, and nobody inks this way, and if they did, it would get destroyed probably in the coloring and the reproduction.
Yeah.
But it's phenomenal when you start looking at, like, the heavy line at the top and how it kind of fades down.
Yeah, the only thing about those fucking pupils, man, like if that's your last page, did you just kick Dracula in his nutsack?
How about that for pretty wild stuff? This is a Daredevil
issue.
Daredevil 154, shortly before Miller shows up, and they describe it as a 17-page fight scene pitting Daredevil against his worst foes. Not the Spider-Man's
Rogues
Gallery.
Not much of a Rogues Gallery, yeah. No. And you're missing Stiltman. Can we go see the eyeballs again?
Let me do one quick one here. This was a penciled piece because it was unused. And the guy that got hold of it commissioned Joe Rubenstein to ink it.
You had a
penciled Gene Colan. Pencils.
It's these fucking Mark-ass fanboys.
It's a bad choice.
Just one more time. Like, look at that.
It looks like lazy eyes.
He got kicked in the balls, man. I'm telling you. And it's like, oh.
I love that inking, though. Tip of the hat to Tom Palmer Jr.
Yeah,
just
good for
killing it on that. Couple more Daredevil pieces. These are also from that issue 154, that fight scene issue, and again showing off both the way he would bend perspective and then just extreme motion. Bill Everett inks. This is a funny one. This is Bill Everett inks over Black Widow, and they said that what happened here the person who has this piece, Everett inked nipples on Black Widow, and then of course the bullpen covered it up. Whoever the collector is had that part taken off to cover up. Man, Bill Everett's inks are something to behold. That's really a good
slick
pairing.
Really, really slick.
I would track down Gene Colan with Bill Everett inks. Warren, a Warren ink wash piece. So Warren Magazine, this is from Erie, and you get to see him doing this ink wash, and there are some great, great details here, like the little shadow on the nose, the lips. I love when these guys do ink washes.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's shocking that they're good at it.
The dynamics are off the wall, and one of the things that people bring up more often than not, believe it or not, is there are innumerable, and maybe it's a lot of it in Dracula when you're in that big Victorian mansion, but a lot of hands opening doorknobs. And if you ever need to do that in a dynamic way, you could almost like just choose an issue and you're going to find Gene Colan's cool approach to like selling that in a How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way kind of style. Haven't seen any of those pages in here to bring it up, but that's like another trick in his toolbox. Like you could take something as mundane as that and twist it around a bunch.
Before we go to Howard the Duck, it reminds me a little bit of Gil Kane in that it's a very sophisticated, it looks like a person.
Yeah.
I always admire that kind of, that ability of these guys to go above the cartoony part and kind of make it feel almost real, make it feel like illustration, something you see in a book cover.
Totally, like spot illustration stuff closer to the bottom. The Howard the Duck thing, we did a Conan the Barbarian comparison episode. Conan won, and then John Buscema redrew it. And one of the things we made note of was like the success of Conan possibly being just because it was different than the rest of the superhero stuff. Howard the Duck as well. Howard the Duck was a massive success. Seismic shifts in comics. Like there was that comic called Quack. Like so many people trying to glom onto, like, well, before Turtles and before Anthropomorphic, it was the ducks. Like, we got to make our duck. The Kamiko Comic Book Company, the seed money comes from those guys sitting at comic conventions drawing duck versions of whatever character
that's
you
so
want.
That's so weird. That's so weird to think of.
And it's just because it's different.
Yeah, and this was a funny piece. You know, the idea of Gene Colan doing funny animal comics. It was very weird. And, I mean, what he brings to it is this, like, much more nuanced treatment, right? Where it's like, it's not a funny animal comic at all, even though it appears to be a funny animal lead.
All those guys, man. Klaus Janson did some stuff. Mike Ploog, you know, like all these kind of fantasy type artists and stuff.
Here's inkers weighing in on Klaus Janson, inkers that work with him and talking about, you know, his pencils and their approach to it. I really like the organization of this book for that reason. Because of the collaborators they choose and then how they organize, you know, like have the writers that he worked with a lot talk about it, have the inkers talk about it. That's just bizarre.
It is, man. That's going to stick with it. It's going to be in your dreams.
Character in a beaver suit. Couple of Batman pieces. So whenever he does leave Marvel Comics and heads over, and these are both Dick Giordano on inks, 1984 time period.
Great episode, great issues in there. There's one where Batman's fighting a guy called the Dagger, and the Dagger, like, just talk in every panel, is just talking about how he like loves knives and like blades and shit. But Colan does good work on it.
And then you get to see some of his pencils reproduced. This is from Michael Chabon presents The Amazing Adventures of the Escapist, published by Dark Horse. And I assume these are reproduced from pencils. I don't know the printed pieces of these.
Right.
But otherwise, Gene Colan's a madman for penciling to this degree. Like, it's so shaded, these pencil marks. I was surprised by, you know, like, obviously people talk about his pencils, but if this is what his average pencils look like, wow.
It's like it doesn't work. Like, you can't ink on top of that. Like, the ink would just come right off. It's there's nothing separating the ink from the paper. Like, the graphite is a layer in between.
Oh, man, it would be all over your hand, smudged from touching.
It's a heavy hand.
I assume that this may be designed for print, I'm guessing.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's 2004, so, you know,
you could do
digital
that
scanning, photography, all those things are available, but it's beautiful. I really love the layouts.
Yeah, that woman taking the mask off is, like, luscious.
it works. So that's your wrap up. A couple more of those morgue file photos, photo references there in the back, but pretty nice art book.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And really kind of shows him off in a flattering way.
I'm really glad you got your hands on this sucker.
Yeah, big fan of this. And like I said, once you start looking at Gene Colan, you'll see all those little nuances. You know, you'll see the cars that are bent a little bit to really push the motion elements. Very good fit for dynamic superhero storytelling. Kind of an unusual fit. You know, I always think like you go from Iron Man on one side to Howard the Duck or Dracula. That's it. If those are your two, what you're able to do, every character falls in between those two.
Yeah, the world's your oyster for sure when it comes to the big two. I'm good to go if you are. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available.
You can find my latest work at patreon.com/JimRugg. Lots of back issue kind of stuff, creative behind the scenes process post, original art, things of that nature. patreon.com/JimRugg.
Red Room Issue 1, going to hit the stands in May. You could pre-order it now, have it sent to your doorstep. If you pre-order it through Fantagraphics, I have a link tree in the description below where you could find that link. And you could also hit up the Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor, and read the first couple issues so far. Almost 100 pages up there right now if there aren't 100 already. And $3 gets the archive for that.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have going on. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give him one more set of marching orders. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.